right.
That was a shot.
Drinking this in 10th grade.
Yeah. No, this was, well, welcome. Yeah, welcome. This is the last episode of the Campfire Conversation as we know it.
For now.
For now. It is going to be an intentional pause. And if you were wondering if that had already happened, given we've recorded one episode in the last 7 months, it wasn't a pause. It was just a slight
gathering of ideas.
Yeah, we were collecting ourselves. But in all seriousness, if you're listening to this, thank you. If you've been with us on this journey for the last 2 years, we kicked this off on my back porch in, I think it was July, maybe early August of 2023. And we're back for at least one next gathering without future plans to continue the pod as we know it. What I wanted to do, though, is another reality that came upon me before I drove over here tonight is that the last podcast Jamel and Jamie and I were together for was in the previous year, December 23rd or 22nd, before Christmas. So I wanted to start by asking if we could get the 10 world major events from a domestic lens, so specifically through like a U.S.-centric lens in the last 7 months. How many of the events that ChatGPT said were the big top 10 events of the last 7 months can we get? And we're going to open that one up, and let's just say we get 15 attempts to get to those 10. Who would like to start?
Hold on.
What's happened since? Are we having some tech issues here?
No, we're good.
We're having some camera.
We're good.
We're live. We're rolling. We're going to keep rolling then.
In the words of Bill O'Reilly, fuck it.
Fuck it. Let's do it live. We're doing it live. So top 10 events.
Top 10 events.
All right. Let's see if you can guess.
Is this like the David Letterman top 10 list?
It's not as funny, especially when you consider the content of this list. There's not a whole lot of funny stuff.
So we're going to guess before you say?
No, we're going to get everyone. No. You guess and I tell you if it's on the list or not.
War in Gaza.
War in Gaza.
That's been going on for like 2 years.
Let's see. I mean, it definitely has been going on, but let's see if it shows up on this list.
And by
list.
2 years, you mean 72 years.
Yeah. Let's keep it. I mean,
election of the orange agent. Agent Orange.
Trump's second inauguration, number one on this list. January 20th, 2025.
I really don't like that guy.
Yeah. God, he sucks. He really does, you know.
All right, come on. We got to come up
with
his
assassination
Super Bowl
attempt.
Eagles Super Bowl.
Let's see if ChatGPT agrees. It does not.
On which one? Assassination?
All right, so it's two guesses. We're one for two. Yeah, actually one for three if we include Gaza.
Just go ahead and give us the list.
Give us. No, you guys
got
to guess at least three more times.
I'm out of guesses.
No, you're not.
Oh, wait, I got one.
The biggest events of the last 2 years.
No, since we last hung out.
The last 8 months?
Yeah, the last seven,
Oh, fucking A.
You were too busy with that camera.
Big events of the last 8 months, I would say.
I'll give you a hint. It involves airports and shoes.
Oh, yeah, they changed the rule back.
That's what ChatGPT is saying?
I mean, dude, how many people are going to be so much happier about not having to take off their shoes?
Shoe bombers.
Do you guys not have a
shoe bomber? That crazy guy.
Do you guys not have TSA pre-check?
No. I never ended up doing it.
I haven't been on a plane since.
Shout out Black Privilege.
14 months.
I haven't taken off my shoes in the airport since the 80s.
Wow. Oh, you were like one of the.
Yeah, that's cool.
9/11, you like went and got pre-check.
Okay.
Maybe
let's
like
see.
3 years after.
Give you another hint. Yeah, I mean, this one affects our community. It's been a huge... It affects every community in this country.
Racism.
Yeah, that does. That's just always on the list, I think, unfortunately. But what's a manifestation of that in the form of a governmental agency running rogue?
Oh, Doge.
Oh, yeah, Doge is maybe not on this list. Yeah, that's one example. There's a different one, though. It also ends in E.
ICE. What's the, like...
Interior border enforcement and protests.
I don't even put ice in my drinks anymore.
Yeah, fuck that.
Yeah. The Good Trouble protest across 1,600 cities opposing immigration crackdowns and Medicaid cuts, number three.
They, like, branded it.
Big, beautiful bill.
Ooh, okay. Let's go number two. Let's That's talk social media. Big development in the social media world since December.
Grok went off the rails.
Grok did go off the rails.
It's not this.
No, no. Yeah, ChatGPT probably would have been good to say that, though. A little competition.
Meg Thee Stallion and Clay Thompson.
This involves China.
Okay.
No, this involves China.
TikTok getting banned.
Yeah.
Late. I mean, is it banned?
Supreme Court upheld TikTok restrictions.
No, definitely not. It was like a week of banning.
Yeah, but that was a big thing.
It's a very Trumpian fashion. He talked about it and then checked it out.
Here's another hint. We're drinking this.
Mm-hmm.
And this goes to lots of places in this country, but tariffs. It also goes to places outside of the country. Tariffs.
Those are working swimmingly for the country right now.
Duty free.
Yeah. Yeah.
Duty.
Inflation is rising. We've seen none of this money coming back into our pockets. But yeah, tariff surge, trade war kickoff.
Mexico's going to build a wall, though.
Yep. That blocks them off from the Gulf of America. That also happened in the last 7 months. We got a lot to catch up.
Okay, so what is number 10?
Number 10, diverging national narratives week in D.C. World Pride events followed by a military parade generating protest over immigration enforcement and LGBTQ rights.
Okay.
Okay.
Number 9.
U.S.-Canada spirits trade spat.
Okay, I see what you're talking about with Jack Daniels.
Yeah, 66% drop in U.S. liquor sales.
If Trump holds up my crown... Or my Costco crown, I'm fucking him up.
How many ounces?
I want the fade with
Trump.
How many ounces
in a Costco crown?
1.75 liters.
That might go up
metric
to like
system.
A gallon.
That might go up to no, like $37 instead of $35.
I will lose my collective shit.
Yeah.
Number 8.
Shoes. TSA shoes.
Number 9.
Number
7. Sorry.
Seven. This one affected children in southern Texas and also random places around the country.
Measles.
Yep. You got it. Measles is back, everyone. Making America healthy again.
By getting rid of vaccinations.
Yep.
Sounds legit.
This is actually just a symptom of years and years of narrative about vaccinations and also some religious communities that just don't believe in them at all. I don't think that's just vaccinations necessarily.
Number 6.
Wildfires and natural disasters. That's just all the time. But yeah, major wildfires in Southern California and the Carolinas. Horrible tragedy in Texas, like 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, that's crazy. I heard the river rose 26 feet.
In like an hour.
In like 45 minutes.
Yeah.
26 feet in 45 minutes.
It's just horrible. I was camping that night and came back the next morning and read about it.
Can I pause you guys real quick there?
Yeah.
What is it about camping that white people love?
Hey, so this is a great question because it was our first campfire conversation, full circle. We talked about camping, and clearly I have not won you over.
Absolutely not.
Is that a...
You're going to make me go sleep outside on the ground?
I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah.
It's beautiful.
Wild. It's terrible.
So Taja just became committed to camping. She just had her first positive experience ever camping.
There's positive experiences camping.
If you get a good night's sleep, that's basically the difference. I mean, you got to also waking up by the river.
Yeah.
So here's what I propose.
My idea of camping is going to the Holiday Inn.
Yeah. So Dewan wants to go camping. Jamie, maybe you could, but let's pick a weekend in August. We're going to do a backpack trip. We're going to just hike up a couple miles.
That's ambitious. That's a whole other thing. Besides
2 miles.
Wait,
2 miles.
Hold the fuck up. You want me to go camping and carry shit on my backpack for 2 miles?
Car camping is
and take a dump
nice.
In the woods.
Yeah, that's. Have you guys seen scary movies? Black people are the first people to get killed in these situations. Yeah. Number five.
Official English and executive orders flurry. That definitely impacted work everywhere. Mm. So executive orders made English the official language.
Shout out to the non-existent Department of Education.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That's gone. So are a lot of...
Number 4.
DEI efforts. Tariff surge. Number 3. ICE. Number 2. TikTok. Number 1. Donald Trump.
So
that's happened since we last met.
So
that's a lot of time.
That all has happened since we last met. And of that list of 10, how many of them are directly influenced by Agent Orange?
All of them. Almost all of them.
I would say 9 of the 10.
Yeah, I don't know. Which one was it?
Natural disasters?
I mean, arguably, policies he supports contribute to that. Like, he got rid of a ton of government officials that work in the very agencies that anticipate and alert people to disasters and then disaster recovery. So
can we talk about that for a second?
Yeah.
My issue there is that, from what I understand, a lot of people wanted Trump to be president again because he wanted to run the country like a business. My huge argument against that is that governments are not businesses.
They don't need to make profits.
They're not here to make profits. They're here to take care of the people who are it's designed to protect.
Right.
And when you start running a country like a business, you start getting cuts, i.e. Doge, i.e. National Weather Service, i.e. Department of Education, i.e. Any number of things.
USAID.
Yeah, any number of things that have been cut. I think my besides the obvious white supremacist base of this MAGA movement is that folks believe that government's purpose is to make money, when I believe that government's purpose is designed to take care of the people it is for.
Yeah, I think it's a civics education problem. And I think that there's a lot of problems and there's a lot of systems and institutions that are broken right now or under attack or self-inflicted wounds. But I think that, and in some cases for good reason, people have some serious trust issues with institutions. And what we're seeing, in my opinion, right now is just a case in which people who don't care through what means or through what mediums they get power, see an institution or a set of institutions available that they can exploit to get their power. And I think that's what's happening. And, you know, I think that people have been long enough without understanding the true value, to your point, about what a government is there to do. It's to govern, right? Like, it is to govern. It is to provide rules. It is to provide safety. It is to provide support and supposed to, you know, ensure that everyone under that governance is able to live a life, at least in the United States, of freedom, prosperity, and liberty. And it's very clear that that is a belief that is currently viewed as only if I'm in power and those who support my power should have those privileges. And they're not privileges, they're rights. And I think that we're missing the mark. And people, I don't even know if they know to challenge the reality right now, to say, like, that's not actually what government's for. In a government that America has been building for 200 plus years, it has at least for a long time sought to try to create a government for all of the people, with many flaws in the past. But right now, we're seeing a big relapse.
I think that is due to, as you kind of pointed out, a lack of education.
Yeah. Yeah. It's disappointing.
With that being said, welcome to Campfire Conversations, everybody.
Yeah. So that was our first segment, a little catch up, a little touch base, a little bit of, wow, the world.
Is that rain?
Yeah. Right. Hey, do you see behind you a white one of these?
I don't see a white one. I do see a Caucasian one. That's a lie. I don't see it.
Is that a?
It should be
that
in that left little drawer.
There we go.
No, like all the way to the left.
So right now, for our listeners, Jamel is sitting at a table.
He's a little white guy over there,
turning around, looking at a drawer of gadgets. What is in this drawer, Jamie? There's a lot of stuff in that. Oh, there we go. All right.
No, it's a dongle.
A dongle? That's a funny word. Whoever came up with that?
Steve Jobs. Ever heard of
him? Do you think he did? Did he come up with the word dongle?
Is that like a soft J? Steve Jobs?
So we're going to go to kind of grounding today's podcast, but as we started off by sharing that this is at least... The plans are to put pause in this for a bit.
I'm going to try to change Josh's mind tonight.
Yeah, it might happen, but lots of things happening. And so this podcast, you know, we started it 2 years ago, and I think with a couple of aims in mind. One was to build connection and to provide a little bit of a platform for both ourselves, myself, to kind of have a creative connection outlet, but also hopefully to provide some interesting conversations for people to listen to and hopefully take away some insight and potentially even beyond insight and into something that could help them. And when I started the podcast and Jamel and Jamie and I came together, a lot of it was, you know, the grounding of our name was the Campfire Conversation, which is a chance to sit around a campfire, or in this case, a table, and just shoot the shit. And it's been a hell of a journey. It's been 2 years, almost to the month or to the week even, since we started it. And we had a lot of good conversations over the 16 episodes. I had set the goal as I wanted to hit 19 because it said that 98% of podcasts don't get past their 19th episode, I think it was. We came close, and it doesn't mean that this is we're shuttering the doors forever.
I feel like we came closer than close.
We came, yeah, we got pretty close.
Dangerously close.
Dangerously close. So I think, said differently, I think the goal of this podcast was a little bit of like a program for ourselves and for others in kind of this midpoint of life. And a lot of us, you know, I know those who listen and who've joined our show are all of similar, for the most part, similar age. And I just turned the corner to 40.
Damn.
Yeah, since we met. That was not on the ChatGPT's top 10 list, but that did happen since we last met. And, you know, I think that this has been a real great part of, you know, finding a creative outlet and finding voice, especially as all the things of work and career that we've been in for almost half of our career lives kind of get to a point where you're like, what am I doing? Why am I doing this? And so one of the questions I asked, and you know, Jamie has pulled these resources into today's show, but we at my birthday party a couple months after my birthday, so about 3 months ago from now, we put a little thing together in the basement. Jamie, do you want to share a little bit about what was going on?
Yeah, Josh like gave me a little cave. Like the, was there a window in that room?
There is small one,
small window, little cave, and we set up a cozy little like interview for different like guests of Josh or like the pairs or groups. There's like this group that definitely remember them, but I don't know anyone's name from that. And we played a little music and asked them the hard questions, and yeah, we clipped out five. One of them sad. We got to decide if we're gonna take shots to the sad one.
I mean, I guess we can edit.
Yeah. I don't know if we want to like end on the sad one.
Well, you're the producer.
I was gonna say, yeah, you produce the fuck out of this.
Yeah, all right. But before we jump into that, Jamel, any reactions from you as a founding partner of this venture?
Ask me the question again.
Yeah, just like in reaction to where we're at with this podcast, 16 episodes in. Maybe putting it to bed for a bit. Yeah, what's on your mind?
I understand, not necessarily the decision seems, it makes it seem like it's really formal. I understand the idea behind the hiatus.
Yeah.
Additionally disappointed in it, but I understand it. I think to go back to our OG education days, a refocus is needed. But I highly doubt that this is the last episode of Campfire Conversation.
Yeah. No, I appreciate that. Hope, the audacity of hope, I guess. Yeah, like anything in life, I'm not ever, you know, overly committed to saying like this decision is the one that we have to live with. I think that new information comes to light.
Committed is such a strong word.
Yeah. So, but anyways, for, you know, we'll give our listeners a minute to grab their tissues and, you know, collect yourselves. I know this is going to come as a real blow. It's a real blow to a lot of people.
Pause.
Yeah, that's another funny phrase that, you know, in sports, I heard that the first time, like in high school, and we were running sprints and the coach was like, all right, go, was it give him a blow or get a blow or give him a blow? Like, mm-hmm. What the hell is going on here?
Sandusky.
Yeah.
Shout out.
Catholic Sandusky High School. But it turns out it just is a phrase of, collect their breath. Yeah. All right. Well, so Jamel, here's how we're going to do this. We have not heard. Jamie has heard these clips
several times.
I have not heard these clips.
I haven't heard shit about shit.
So we're going to react to it in real time. And I think the goal is to
make you cry.
It could happen. I don't, you know, I think the last time that happened was watching
Brokeback Mountain.
Pause.
I haven't seen that actually. No, watching
good movie.
What's the Matthew McConaughey movie that not Inception? I'm just blanking on the name.
Matthew McConaughey.
Yeah, where he goes to other worlds. Interstellar. I cried in that movie.
You cried on Interstellar,
dude. The scene where his daughter was like,
that was tough.
That was tough. Yeah. All right. Well, Jamie, give us a play. Let's listen to our first. Oh, and for the listeners, the prompt was, what do you like about getting older? What do you like about getting older? Tying this all together.
What do you like about getting older? Jamie, right. Hit us.
Midlife crisis.
Well, I know exactly who that
just
is.
Kind of like really? Over the, like him and I both kind of like made it through the, you know.
The 30s.
Well, there's just light on the other side of the tunnel of a good midlife crisis.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think as you get older, you kind of.
I know who that is.
Wonder too. Or kind of get that feel of like, man, there's so much that like I've learned and want to know like what's other people experiencing. You know, like from 30 to 40, I've learned so much, and now I want to know like what are other people like kind of view as their experience. I think it's like a wondering of like, oh.
When you reflect on your 20s and the time that you spent in your 30s, what are you taking away? Because you just had a birthday. So like, what are you taking into this new year?
That was good. I think, what did the guy say? He said, I knew everything in my like teens and 20s. Nothing in my 30s, you know. So I think it's like that process of like, this is still the start or the journey of knowing more and asking more than I did when I was in my.
I'm like hearing like an openness, like open to like what comes your way.
Yeah. What about you?
I like that my hair is graying.
How many gray hairs do you think you got? You had to guess a number.
1,000.
You think 1,000?
I have so much gray hair.
At 33.
Four.
And what do you think you would be like in your 40s? Gray hair, number one. Give me two more.
Totally gray hair. Thinking about my 40s. Our kids are going to be
totally
older.
Gray.
So probably like longing for them to want me more, like as much as they want me now, where I'm so annoyed with it now. I think that in my 40s, I'll probably appreciate the interdependence that we have.
Yeah, those are two good ones to start. That a cute couple for sure. Yeah, they were really sweet.
Yeah, shout out to Dewan and Bree.
Josh is already tearing up.
Yeah. So yeah, what? What jumped out to you in that one, Jamel?
Honestly, knowing the couple, how tender the conversation was.
Yeah, the podcast format can really put people, like when Taj and I throw on the headphones, I'm like, dang, we don't always talk like this. Mm. You know, it's like there's an intention.
Normally we're cussing each other out.
But it's just like the intentionality. Is
yeah,
like,
no.
I need to get a pair of headphones.
Knowing the couple, how tender the conversation was, one. To how reflective of the three kids that they have, and Bree's, I'm sorry, the young lady's desire to want to be wanted the same way that she's wanted now by those three, and finally, the young man's command of the conversation, but again in a tender way.
Mm.
Yeah,
I appreciate that. I think, what was shared at the end there regarding your kids, you know, wanting you as much as they want you when they're 2 and 4 or, you know, 3 and 6. That hit me for sure. I was sitting on the couch this morning and I was looking for some pictures to put on my website, and it just going back. And it's funny, I have a ton of pictures of the kids, a lot of pictures of me and Lindy, and very few pictures of me at work.
Yeah, never time for a selfie. You know?
Yeah, and or of people doing work. Yeah, and I want, I'm like, oh man, I would, this would be a perfect picture, is like having, you know, me you like
typing away
at a whiteboard and everyone's smiling. And I'm like, yeah, this is, I'm like, I don't have that shit.
Real quick, is it whiteboard or wipeboard?
White.
Like blackboard.
Is that a real question?
That's a real question.
Because you got to wipe it down. Yeah. Wipe
it's
it.
A white. Because it's a white color.
You also wipe it, though.
Yeah. It's not a wipe board.
It's
a malaprop is what that is. It's a commonly misunderstood word, I guess. I'm sure you're not the only one who's talking.
They do have another word for it, like a
dry erase.
Yeah,
dry erase. Which is
really getting at the wiping.
That's the more culturally appropriate name.
Dry erase, yeah.
Depends on which culture, I guess.
Yeah. So back to what I was saying, though.
Sorry.
No, that's a totally inappropriate aside. But yeah, no, I think the kid stuff, man. I was looking at pictures of Landon and Cal, and you know, 11, you know, anywhere between 12 plus years ago to 9 years ago. And man, it's like, holy Jesus. You know, my kids are six. Landon's going to be in seventh grade. He's 6 years away from graduation. Yeah. Callum is about to go into fourth grade. Like,
you've got a fever.
Yeah, been a dad for 10 years, man.
And the only prescription.
13 years. More cowbell.
It's more cowbell.
More cowbell. Yeah, sheesh. Yeah, so that hit me. I agree with her insight fully. I don't know. Would you go back and say, like, your kids are getting to be a bit older. Do you ever even pause right now and say, you know what? I appreciate right now, but if I could give myself another shot when they were first in this world, would I have done anything differently? Do you ever think that way?
You know what? That question, if you will, comes up quite often. And I think to myself, everybody asks me, like, what's the best age? And I'm like, whatever comes up next.
Yeah,
because every single time, every single day, each of them does something different that's like awesome. And do I miss like when my oldest was the same age as my youngest is right now? Kind of, but not really, because we just started riding bikes like yesterday. We were riding bikes together around the fucking neighborhood. And that was awesome, right? Because I cussed him smooth the fuck out because he was just like, I can't do it. I don't know how to ride a bike. And I'm like, no, fuck that. And like, you know me, like I literally was cussing him out. And then, like, come back, and Therese is out there working with him. Shout out to my wife. She taught my oldest how to ride a bike. I come back out there, and he's, like, fucking riding a bike.
Hey, Dad, look at me.
Yeah,
this is
exactly.
Awesome. Let's go on a bike ride.
Literally 6 hours before that, I was like, fuck this. Fuck you. Fuck everything that's going on here.
Oh,
I'm not dealing with this shit.
Yeah.
And then he was like, you know, I'm not giving up. And he learned how to ride a fucking bike.
Yeah.
We did swimming this summer. Like, it was just like, my oldest never learned how to swim, and then my youngest is 5. So it was like, perfect. You're both learning this summer. And like, there were some moments where my oldest was like, I am frightened, Dad. And I'm like, am I doing the wrong thing? And now they both are swimming like in water over their head. And I'm like, okay, this was totally worth it.
Can you swim in water over your head?
I can.
Are you an Olympic swimmer?
I am a lap swimmer. I swim multiple laps every week, under 10 usually.
When I think about swimming, I talk about me walking with my head under my neck under the water. But
can
I'm
you swim?
I can swim. I can tread
can
water.
Can you survive? Okay.
Yeah, I can survive. Am I going to be able to swim a 100-meter race? Fuck no.
But if you put on goggles, could you, like, do an impression of, a swim team move?
Yeah. For about 10 meters.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
I swim.
Then what happens?
Then I'm like, all right, let me just tread water in the meantime because I'm fucking tired and I'm out of shape.
Yeah, I swim one lap, I chill for like 2 minutes, and then I swim another lap, and I just like...
Oh, well, I could do that.
That's what I'm saying. It's good cardio.
Country club
swimming. Well, what's a lap? Because in real life, back a lap is 50 meters.
Right.
Carla Madison is like...
Can you swim 50 meters?
I go no breaths. I go about 25 meters. If the Carla Madison pool is 50.
Olympic size is 50.
I don't think it's Olympic size, yeah. But it's longer than the one in Stapleton or Gatineau.
It could be 50, yeah. 50 yards.
Yeah, so whatever. I'm going half underwater. No, just one breath, one yoga breath, swim. Don't do that head turn thing. And then I just go on my back. I'm like backstroke.
Why don't you turn your head?
Because it's like... That's like yoga does not teach me to exercise like that. Yoga yeah. teaches me get your breath together
because okay. it's two different
activities. Yeah. Ujjayi right. breath, yeah. like in.
He's I like, yeah, see. I see yoga people do that.
Yoga has not taught me how to do Olympic swimming. Yeah, because yeah. it's not fucking yeah. Olympic swimming.
I don't like. I need a longer breath than that allows me. Plus my neck.
Yeah,
I don't like it. Yeah. So I just swim a couple laps, and okay. my cardio has been way better since.
Yeah, swimming's that, a good exercise.
You've bro. Learned this in. This is something you've liked about aging. Getting older is yeah. not caring if it looks like Michael Phelps or not. All right. Well, let's go, let's go to the next one. And I do think if we're going to do the one with a little more emotion, do it in the middle.
So he doesn't cry at the end of the show.
Okay. So now? The music is not saying get sad, but I'll do it.
Yeah, this is definitely not. It's not sad music.
Let's bring out the depressed dad on stage.
Jazz hands.
Yesterday, my wife left me.
Okay.
Is there a punchline? Nope,
no,
that's it.
No, that's just it.
All right, play him out, Tony.
Okay, so my name is Deborah. I'm from Brazil, and last year I turned 30, and I'm going to speak from the point of view of an immigrant living abroad. I left Brazil when I was 23, and what I learned in this 7 years that I've been abroad is that family really matters. You're going to find a lot of good friends that are going to become your family when you're abroad. But your family is irreplaceable. Mm. Mm. And when you endure some really hard times, like the ones we're living right now, you really need to have the support of people that are around you. And I found the support with some friends, with my love's family. So I think that when you get older and you live abroad, far away from your family, you learn that some things that once were important for you are not anymore, and that chasing your dream is very important, but sometimes it's very tough, and these hard times that you're going to face, not every people tell you when you want to go abroad and live your dreams. So for the younger kids that are trying or they dream of living abroad, don't give up. It's tough. It's worth it. And you're going to find some people that they are really going to care about you. But never forget about your family because they are your basis. That's it.
Nice.
Who's Deborah?
She's my friend Andy's partner. Yeah. You know Andy.
I do know Andy.
Yeah.
Good
yeah.
guy.
Yeah. Deborah's a lovely, lovely woman as well.
I'm sorry. She said yeah. she was from where?
Brazil.
Brazil.
Yeah. Yeah. She's Brazilian. Yeah. Who wants to start and kind of just responding and kind of reflecting on what Deborah shared?
I think when I think of family, there's like this little split for me of like the family I'm creating with my wife. Mm-hmm. And then like the family that I grew up in. Mm-hmm. And I think for some people, those are like way more integrated, you know, it's just kind of like one continuation of a family. And I kind of feel like I'm trying to like establish something new. And like, so I moved away from my family. It is different than moving like her situation. But I think it was important for my family to kind of like, stretch our wings a little bit and not be like, you're seeing your grandparents every week and like, right. you know, so
I feel mixed about it.
Yeah.
I really like what we've, you know, found out here. And immigrating to Colorado from Philadelphia is not the same thing as immigrating from Brazil.
But it's not a 2-hour drive.
Right.
Yeah. You're also getting some weird
feedback on that. On the clip or on my mic?
No, on the mic. Yeah, just like a little bite. I don't even know what it is. Maybe it's just my headphones. Is it going weird for you at all?
I got a little something too. For me, I think awesome clip. Definitely very emotional. I think there is something to be said about experiencing life outside of your comfort zone. I also think as she was speaking, I was thinking, why would anybody put themselves in that situation? Like, I think about this quite often. If I were to move to, say, a brand new city, we live in Denver right now. We have family in Georgia. If I was to pick up and move to Philadelphia right now, how much harder my life would be, how much more difficult it would be for my kids. Why would I risk that?
Move them away from family.
Yeah.
Yeah. In her case, you know, she doesn't have kids, so. Right.
But still.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. Like my question is, I think there's something to be said kind of to Jamie's point about experiencing something new, trying something new on your own and developing or building that muscle, that skill. At the same time, there is also something to be said about like, hey, like try something outside of your comfort zone, but still be able to take care of what you need to be take care of. Now, I say that from a position of privilege because I live in the United States of America, right? Yeah. I don't live in Venezuela where it's just like, hey, I feel comfortable here in my hometown, but I got to find some place where I can make some money.
Yeah,
I'm not saying that as a person that lives in the slums or the ghettos of Mexico City. I'm not somebody who's saying that that lives in the favelas, or not favelas, but the...
I know what you're talking about.
And down in Brazil, right? Like,
that's not what they're called.
Fluvelas.
Like that was a term around the Olympics.
Yep.
That was hearing about.
So I think there's also something to be recognized, or something to be thought about, something to be said about the privilege that we have here living in the United States. But I also think it's just like gauging what is more important and what that's why I have so much respect, so much reverence for those folks who leave Colombia, leave Venezuela, leave Brazil, track across the Darien Gap, go through Honduras, go through Panama, go through El Salvador, go all the way through Mexico, and then get to the United States border. And some 21-year-old kid is like, fuck you, points an M16 in their face and says, you're not welcome here in this country.
Yeah, the whole context of ICE is, I think we haven't
totally
named that. That's a stressor that maybe that's like the stressor she was referring to.
But even then, like being like, hey, even that, I would take that 22-year-old kid pointing an M16 in my face and be where the fuck I was.
Yeah, like knowing that that is the current state. Yeah, I mean,
she's on a student visa.
Yeah.
Or some sort of visa, work visa.
Yeah, none of us can obviously like speak to exactly why she was reflecting on that the way she was. But I do know from conversation is like, it's also a reflection on like a culture of belonging or a not culture belonging. And, you know, to live and exist in a culture that is explicitly naming people who don't belong there as an enemy of the people. And even legal citizens or legal immigrants, I can only imagine how difficult that must be, plus the distance with family. I think the other takeaway for me from that is, Jamie, your reflection echoes mine, I think, is, you know, my nuclear family, I think, has changed definition, right? Like, it still is, I guess I would think of it as my brother, my sister, my mom, and my dad on one hand, but it's also Lindy and Landon and Callum, and even by extension, Laura and their side of the family and Lindy's side of the family. Like, our family has grown and is dynamic and is, it just has a beautiful different shape to it. And so I agree that family is important, but family also evolves, right? And so, you kind of get to a stage, and I feel like even for me, it was in my 30s when a greater deal of like myself came out of independence from kind of my upbringing in some ways. I've always had deep reverence and love and respect for my parents. And there's a certain stage when you're like, yeah, people say you move out of the house when you're 18, like all of a sudden you're on your own and you're really forming your own life. But come on now.
Come on now.
That's not happening at that age. I think that really finding your voice as the leader of your family is something for me that happened in my 30s. And
wow, someone thought I was an adult when I was 24 or 18.
Or
34 or
38.
Or 39 2 weeks ago in Philly or 42 nights ago on the patio. Sometimes I don't act like I'm 40.
You can really grow up in Philadelphia, you know? Really put some hair in your chest.
Yeah, born and raised. Not me. Somebody.
Shout out to West Philadelphia.
Yeah.
Yeah, not me. Shout out
to Tasha. All right, here we go. Let's roll the next clip. Shout out to Bob Marley.
Or somebody like that.
This is Bob Marley.
Is it?
Mm-hmm.
Hey, I think this is a
kinky reggae,
well,
isn't
I think
it?
We'll do. Yeah, yeah, I'm not thinking of which clip to do. Okay. This one is a little off the rails.
I could jump right into my first theory for how to answer it. Oh. I thought about a few different options before I landed on this one, actually.
You know this instrument?
And it was. That I spent a huge amount of time with my family, of course. And when your family includes two children of a certain age and you're actively parenting them, like I think most people do, you're like, that is a huge part of who you are and what age you feel if you're really relating to your kids. And so like it's an intense experience living through a 10 and 11 year old. And for me, that's a ton of fun. And I think it keeps me younger. And I know that there'll be a certain cliff where you're not around your kids anymore or they're sufficiently older. And then your ages average out to an older person and you're just fucking old. But at my stage, so I think there's probably a different answer every few years as you grow older. But right now, being able to age and be alive with my children is just, what the fuck? What am I going to complain about? There's nothing to complain about. I don't care about getting older. I'm where I want to be, doing what I want to do. And then perhaps at some point, you know, you're back to just feeling your age.
Yeah, that's basically what Jamal was saying.
I like that. Excuse me.
Yeah, tell me more. What do you like about that? That's my buddy Scott.
You living in the moment.
Mm-hmm.
Especially with your kids, like, fuck it, we're here. I'm enjoying where we're at right now. It may suck or it may be great later on or whatever, but right now, enjoy the fuck out of it.
And your energy reflects like the age of your kids. So if you've got a bunch of like 8 year olds, you might as well have the energy of an 8 year old.
Yeah.
What do you have?
I don't know if I agree with that. I've got a 7 year old and my energy is not that of a 7 year old.
He's on a different vibe.
No, that's a great quote.
And camping.
Man, I aspire to that degree of presence. And I think that the beauty of reflecting, especially like pulling up old photos, is a little bit of a grounding exercise to almost say like, if that's how I feel about seeing these old photos, I also have that right now. And also as a parent who sees my children half the time, I also have a weekly experience of not seeing them. And so there's some nights where I'm like, shit, man, I just want to see my kids, you know? And I think that appreciation and gratitude for seeing them, I have a very consistent opportunity to reflect on that by not seeing them. And it's so easy to let so many things get away in life where you're worried about tomorrow's, you know, meeting or figuring out this job thing or figuring out how to pay for this, this, or that. And, you know, sometimes your kids are just around.
Mm-hmm.
And I think advice I give to myself now and advice I'd give to myself 10 years ago and advice I give to myself in 10 years, I just think always advice is, you know, presence. And I think what I enjoy about getting older is recognizing that, man, all we got is this. This is the time we have. Like, this is it. Like, literally this moment right now is all we have. And I think as I get older, just almost accepting and just, I don't know if the word is, loving the fact that you're just alive. And when you can live through that sort of appreciation without all of the other conditions and be with who you're with, your kids, yourself, your friends, that I think is something I've really loved about the last couple of years of my life is being able to identify that. And, you know, just as a quick anecdote, this is why I like camping, but I was up in the mountains 2-3 weeks ago with a buddy, and we were in this place I've never been. It's in the Sangre de Cristo Mountains, which is in Southern Colorado. The blood of Christ is actually what the range stands for, what it translates to, I mean. And we were in this beautiful basin. So are you familiar with the concept of a basin?
A basin?
That's an example, yeah. So
I see what you did there.
B, yeah. Basin.
Well, Arapaho Basin. Arapaho, okay. Basin, oh, that's what the A stands for. Yeah, it's basically like it's not a valley quite, but it's the kind of a semi-leveled out hilly part that comes out of steep jagged mountains. And it's almost like surrounded by at least 180, maybe 270 degrees. And so we were up in this mountain range and I was packing up to leave. And I was sitting in the middle of this field and sitting next to a river, and there's 14,000 foot mountains all around. Like, this is one of the biggest concentration of the tallest mountains in the state. And my head was all over, man. I was like thinking like, okay, well, how do I, you know, this job stuff and, you know, what does it mean to be a spiritual person? And I'm just sitting there just like this classic, like, stuck in my thoughts. And I sit down and I look up at the mountain. I'm like, okay, well, how do I put this, you know, my beliefs of spirituality into some sort of frame? And my own voice goes, it doesn't matter. You're alive. And I'm like, okay, well, how do I practice for this conversation next week at work? You know, and it's like, it doesn't matter. You're alive. And I think I went through that cycle like 2-3 more times. Well, what about, like, how do I have this, you know, thinking, just constantly thinking. And all the takeaway was is, you're alive.
Doesn't matter, you're alive.
You're alive. And I was just kind of nuzzled up in this kind of bosom of the mountains, just like the saddle of flowers and grass next to a river. And like that peaceful, just total moment of presence is something that I'm grateful to be looking for and experiencing at this stage in life.
I think like that, yeah. ChatGPT top 10 failed to account. Like, it's like, if you frame your kind of experience in a certain way, those are like the 10 most important things that happened in the world. But if you're like kind of having the experience that you're having, none of those 10 things are like registering in the same way. Like, yeah, Trump being inaugurated certainly is having an impact on everyone's experience. And also, if you can never escape the reign of Trump's like terror, then he's already won, you know.
I'm curious.
Yeah, fuck that guy though.
I'm gonna see if ChatGPT can identify my own interior top 10 moments. But let's hear the next clip.
Ooh. Well, great question, Jamie. And I love the undertone here. It feels
Doors?
As if what I'm about to say is gonna resonate through continents, you know, it's destined. But no, to me, I don't know. I think it just it's a gradual push toward what's real and what means something, right? When we're growing up, we were just talking a little earlier about high school, say. And what you feel like is a big deal and significant and consequential toward the end isn't as much, so long as you're striving toward a deeper relationship with people, you know, be that with your, in my case, wife and the children that follow.
Four.
Right? So,
four kids.
You know, for us right now, celebrating a 40th birthday with a good friend, Josh, is a wonderful milestone. But we're all the more grateful because my wife, Allison, and I come here you know, mindful of what we've wrought together. And that's, damn, Andy, follow me, man.
Good stuff. Well, it's not an easy question, obviously, because you're always, supposedly, you have to answer the opposite question. What don't you? What's hard? You know, we have easy answers for that.
Like,
I'd like to smash some pumpkins.
Yeah. What is it? Well, one thing I'm grateful for as I get older is just friendship. You know, it's really cool to listen to people who, of course, I knew were at the party and I, you know, been friends with in some cases for over 20 years of my life. And sitting here with other friends who I've known for a quarter of my life or more, and grateful for that. And I think having the thickness of relationships and roots, you know, roots that go down to kind of anchor who you are, come through your relationships. And I think as I get older, the quality of those relationships and the roots really bear its fruit, right? Like a tree doesn't really bear fruit unless it has firmly planted roots. And I think that at this stage in life, a lot of those relationships bear fruits. And, you know, often that is simply just time, presence, knowledge of who you are, respect for each other, care for each other. And I appreciate that. So that was great. Thank you for pulling those clips together to listen to. That was a nice second birthday gift for me.
Yeah, it was a great idea, Josh. I want to start a business of going to people's parties and recording interviews and then doing something with them.
Yeah.
I would like to see how profitable that would be.
Yeah, I think that there's a market. But maybe that's the pivot here. What's next, y'all? Like, what are you most excited about between now and when we meet again, whether it be in the form of a podcast or whether it becomes something else? But yeah, what's on the horizon that you're feeling joyful about? And I'll give you all a minute to think. For me, as I'm recording this, I'm, you know, in the midst of kind of a leap. I think that, you know, my advisor, spiritual advisor, he said, there's an old Buddhist saying, leap and a net shall appear. And kind of in that leaping into a net phase right now of starting my own venture where I think can use my strengths and passions and creativity to help other leaders and teams become their best and make work more enjoyable for people, more fulfilling and more successful. And so I'm working out how to do that and feeling energized by that. And I probably worked 10 hours a day for the last week and it's felt like I've worked for like an hour, you know. I think feeling that alignment, and choosing that right now feels good. So I'm excited, you know, we can't predict the future at all. But I look forward to that in this next chapter. And for those listening, you know, I'll share out, but we'll be starting both a business and a website, but also another podcast that I think will be learn a lot from this podcast. And the one that we intend to start is hopefully going to be LinkedIn worthy in the sense that this one, in so many ways, I love the fact that it's really not that audience. So that's what I'm looking forward to is I think getting more grounded and in interior, my interior more aligned to what feels like one of the purposes I have in this world, which is to help people and doing so in a way that feels like it's the right one. So that's what I'm looking forward to. How about you, Jamil?
I'm going to defer to Jamie because I want to follow up.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think what I've realized over this last year is like, it is so hard to get an institution to pay you to to do like what you believe is right. Mm. And there's like, there's this, yeah,
well said.
Yeah. There's this just like expectation that, that like, I get when you're younger and you're like developing a skill set, but like once you have like a clear skill set, finding an institution that's like, we want you to do what you do is really hard. And mm-hmm. you end up doing like someone else's dream. But it's like, the question is like, I'm like, how much do you believe in this dream? Because like, mm-hmm. you know, like I'm having my doubts and I'm on the ground and I'm seeing things differently. And like that, I'm at a point where I can't do that, like, and keep myself in good health and good mental health and good spirits. Yeah. And so, yeah, I think it's like my natural inclination would not be to like grind on like my own entrepreneurial endeavors, but it kind of seems like the only way to like live in a self-actualized way where you're like, I'm clear on what I need to be doing. Like when I'm around in an environment that calls on me to use my skills, like they just, I'm compelled to do the thing, seems like the right thing, but I can't do that in the structure of like a role that's been predefined.
Yeah.
I really tried. So I think it's building out what my dream is, even if it feels uncomfortable, to be like marketing myself and pitching myself. And ultimately you land, you know, small little things until you have a client. I've seen some contracts that people are signing and I'm like, right. You don't need a bunch of those. You need one of those. And then all of a sudden, I'm hoping to use the podcast, like vehicle to like expand my reach, to be, you know, to like engage school systems all over the country and be like, here's what I'm talking about. Fly me out. Let's do this. Or like, I can bring this educator with me and we can like build with any skill set that this network like has to offer.
I'm excited to see where that goes. And yeah, that resonates. And I think self-actualized is a word or phrase that jumps out. But yeah, listening to that purpose inside of you, I think is also part of, as you get older, is a gift available and not always easy to listen to or easy to tune out the other noise that sometimes gets in the way. But I think it all fits in this whole theme of you're alive and you won't always be. Yeah. You know, we won't always be. I mean, unless somebody figures out some potion that I wouldn't even want to take to live forever, we're not. And so do you want to actually spend the next 8 years in an institution with some of the quote unquote comforts that are provided without perhaps you truly living and acting and working in a way that aligns to the way the world needs you?
Yeah, it's like hard to feel what you're saying about like, oh, well, I'm alive. It's like hard to, when you're working in, for me, when I'm working with one of those roles where I'm like constantly being demoralized, if you tell me I'm alive, I guess, but you know, there's something about spending time with your kids and like pursuing your passions and, you know, like hustling, like trying to make like a certain amount of money per month through Venmo. It's like, you know, it's crazy, but it's like, I see it happens for people. And, but you gotta drink some coffee and take some mushrooms to believe in yourself sometimes. You
know? Yeah. Well, we'll look to the hustler in chief over here, a man who's had all of the side hustles that are known to man, it seems. And
jack of all trades, master of none.
Tell me what you're thinking.
I think I'm looking forward to us being in this forum again, some form, some way or another, I think.
Yeah.
Again, like I said, I understand the need for a pause or a hiatus, but I don't think this is the last episode. And I think that it is very therapeutic, not only for us, but folks who listen to the pod as well.
Yeah.
With that being said.
Well, you've said it, man. You've committed us to our next podcast. We'll just got to figure out when. But
With that being said, I am going to push back on the question in typical Jamel fashion.
Yeah.
Push back on it and ask you, Josh, is with this upcoming hiatus, did this podcast do what you wanted it to do? was with the way that you, when you sat down, was like, hey, I want to, you came to me in, let's call it August, September, July, August, September of 2023 and said, hey,
yeah,
I want to do a podcast. I want you to be on it. Did this fulfill that vision?
Oh yeah, man. I think it absolutely did for me. I think I learned a lot. I think, you know, let's just take a minute to think about, we interviewed a woman from Yugoslavia about her journey out of a war-torn country, like escaping in the middle of the night. We interviewed a leader in the city of Denver about diversity, equity, inclusion. We spent time playing music and connecting around our shared interest in, you know, pre-podcast musical venture. My brother was on it, a number of my good friends. We tasted good whiskey. We went to a distillery. We got, you know, into this distillery that I'm actually wearing the hat for, Laws Distillery, and did like a live tasting and reflection with a group of strangers, like complete strangers, because the person that we were going to do the show with was unable to make it last minute. What else? I mean, it's been a fun hell of an adventure, I would say. We've been at my house. We've been in Jamel's house. We've been over here at Jamie's. You know, different venues, different settings. It just really gave me a sense of life, honestly. You know, at a time in which, at the moment, I was in a place that I had been for a long time, was grateful for the people, but just feeling like part of me wasn't living as fully as I could, and tapping into this creative side that that I believe exists within me, and bringing people together to do things that create, to your point, a little bit of like social therapy, a little bit of hopefully some wisdom for those who listen. So hell yeah, it totally has done that. And I think that my fear, and I think, you know, fear is always the first instinct, and fear is almost always wrong, is that it loses its purpose, its quality. And granted, we can't claim any consistency at this point after 2 episodes in 8 months, but you know, we had a stretch where we were pretty consistent. You know, I just want it to bring value, and I don't want to take time away from people, well, who are recording it. If you're listening and you don't like it, shit, you just turn it off. But, you know, I want it to be bringing value. And so I think, like any good creative venture, sometimes you have to step out to kind of clarify and come back. And so again, where we started was, it's a pause. It's maybe for a month, maybe for half a year, who knows. But how about you, Jamel? Like, did this podcast do what you hoped it would do when you agreed to join?
Absolutely. I think it scratched the itch that you had,
mm-hmm,
in order to get to where you needed to be. I think that mm-hmm, at the genesis of this podcast, you were in a situation where you were just like, hey, I need an outlet, a creative outlet to get my thoughts, feelings out, and I wasn't able to do that in my professional life. And it provided you the outlet through Jamie and myself and these, yeah, microphones,
yeah,
to get there. So I think even if there's one person listening to this podcast, or if there's 1.2 million people listening to the podcast, that doesn't matter. What matters is that you got out of it what you originally attempted to do.
Yeah, well said. Yeah, thanks, man. So, do you want to add anything there, Jamie?
Yeah, I mean, I think if you think about who, like from my own perspective, my public speaking throughout this process has really like grown this format. Like I've done a bunch of public speaking in front of like middle school kids and teachers, and I'm like, oh, really? I'm great at talking, and I'm like sitting in a room full of adults with microphones and being like, I got a lot of room to grow till I can like articulate what I'm trying to say in this format. So I think you guys can reflect on yourselves. I think you were probably more ready for that on day one than me, but it's been a cool process. And
yeah,
I appreciate like my curiosity around this technology and the skill set, and your curiosity around like this conversation, like really, I think helped us both grow, helped all of us grow.
Totally.
And I'm grateful. Yeah. I'm grateful for it.
Yeah. Well said. Well, thank you for this adventure thus far, Jamel, Jamie, for all of your support and willingness to do this, and for the listeners who hopefully will tune into this episode, thank you for giving us a purpose to put this together. So without any further ado, to close this chapter, and until the next time, I bid you adieu. My friend, my kids take French. I obviously clearly don't speak it. You took French.
See, oui.
Oui. All right, y'all. Peace out. Thanks for listening. Until next time.